we can't get used to. If even if God heals a headache, we shouldn't get used to that. You know what I mean? Oh, it's just another headache that God like healed. That's not like we shouldn't get used to. We should be happy, you know? We should be happy that even little things obey the name of Jesus, you know? And we're like always like, oh, I want something to walk. Like I want someone to get up from their wheelchair and walk. But if we're not even willing to pray for like someone's headache, like, come on, we got to grow, right? From glory to glory. Amen. So you might ask, what are these? They're cups. Well, very observant, very observant. Romans 14, 17. What are we talking about? Kingdom. Everybody knows already. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Right? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Okay. When you get the kingdom, when you get the reign of God over your life, the areas of your life, you get these, right? If you have the kingdom in that area of your life, you experience righteousness, peace, and joy in that area of your life, in the Holy Spirit, which means in relationship with the Holy Spirit, okay? So in your job, if you allow the kingdom, the reign of God, which means him being in control, you surrender it and say, God, whatever you want to do in this place, I want to release your kingdom. You will experience righteousness, peace, and joy. And not only you, but that person next to you. Make sense? No? Let's go. Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek what first? Kingdom of God and what? His righteousness. Are these things separate? Because we read sometimes, we're like, kingdom of God and his righteousness. But what did we just read before? That the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating, drinking, but it's a matter of peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Righteousness, he's not making this an addition. He's not saying kingdom and this, right? He's making an amplification. Does that make, like, he's not saying this and this. He's saying this and especially this. His righteousness is not an addition, but an amplification. So it's so important in the kingdom to understand his righteousness in the kingdom. What is righteousness? Righteousness is the right condition. Righteousness is the way we live. It's like living right, right standing before God. It's his character. God is righteous, right? And guess what we became? We became righteous because Jesus became sin. So righteousness is the way, it's a way of holiness. It's a way of right standing. When someone talks to you, they can see if you're righteous or not. Does that make sense? Like, what's the opposite of righteousness?
Unrighteousness.
Wow. Revelation right there. What is the opposite of righteousness? Wickedness.
Oh, yeah.
I love you guys. The opposite of righteousness is wickedness. Wickedness is not the right condition. It's not the right character. It's not the right standing before God, right? But righteousness is the right standing. And we're righteous, you know how? Not because we try to be, but because we're in relationship with Jesus. And now God, now since we're in Christ, God doesn't see us for us. He sees us for Christ. Okay? That's so important. You do not have to question if you're righteous if you understand you're in Christ. Because if you understand you're in Christ, you're already righteous. And so we can focus that we're righteous in Christ. And that allows us, this is what we seek, seeking the character of God that he's placed in us. Some of you are like, I need to be less angry. You know what you need to seek? You need to seek the kindness of God. That's in the kingdom. Does that make sense? Some of you are like, I'm such a liar. Hopefully not. I'm such a liar. You know what you need to seek? You need to seek the truth of God. And oftentimes we're like, I have this problem. I'm trying to get rid of this problem. Here's a new mentality. Instead of getting rid of the problem, replace the problem with his righteousness. Like, you can think so much, like, if I tell you purple donkey, does everybody just picture that? Does that even exist? It does not exist unless you spray paint a donkey purple, okay? But as soon as I said it, you pictured it, right? How are you going to get rid of it? Say, don't think about the purple donkey. Don't think about the purple donkey. Don't think, what are you thinking about? The purple donkey, right? I'm saying don't think about it though. That's what we do. Don't sin, Johnny. Don't sin, Johnny. Don't sin, Johnny. Doesn't hurt, don't worry. Don't sin, Johnny. And what are you doing? Sinning. Right? It's not a matter of getting rid of it. It's a matter of getting his righteousness. Understanding his righteousness. So instead of like, I'm like, don't think of a purple donkey. Think of a yellow donkey. What are you thinking about now? A yellow donkey. Did you stop thinking about the purple donkey? Yes. Hopefully. Okay? Okay. When you think, oh, don't think I'm ugly. Don't think I'm ugly. Like, I'm not ugly. I'm not worthless. I'm not this and this. What do you think? Instead of you're telling yourself, don't think that way. What should you think? You're thinking, no, I'm worthy because Christ made me worthy. No, I'm beautiful because God made me beautiful. And that gets rid of the lies. That's how you have to fight lies in your lives, guys. When you're like, I'm not good enough. Like, no, you can say, I am good enough because Christ made me good enough. Amen? He bought me with a price. Cool? Cool? If you love Jesus, say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Righteousness is in the kingdom. The kingdom reflects the king. Seek these things. Okay. Matthew 5:1. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. 2. And he opened his mouth and taught them. What did he do? He opened his mouth and he was teaching them. That means there was something to be learned. You're like, wow, okay. There's something to be learned. See, he taught them. Because there was something to understand about the way of life. There was something to understand the kingdom. It says when Jesus went about, he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what he preached. So this pertains to the kingdom, the ways of the kingdom. If we want to live the kingdom, we have to understand the kingdom. You can't live out what you don't understand. If you don't know, if you don't understand how to drive a car, are you going to drive a car? No, you're going to crash, right? If you don't understand the rules of basketball, are you going to do well in basketball? No. So he's saying, I need you to understand the kingdom so you can live in it, so you can have the kingdom principles work in your life. Amen? I'll talk normal now because I'm on a high note right now. Oh, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in what? Spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What do you guys think this means? Blessed are the poor in spirit. It means blessed are the poor in spirit. What does it mean though? Yuda, be poor in spirit. How do you do that? No, I mean, for some of us, when I first heard this, I'm like, poor in spirit, what does this even mean? Does that mean I have to be poor? Right? We have to understand these things. Why I really want to understand this is because it says theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Do you want the kingdom in your life? So you, poor in spirit. That's how you get an area of the kingdom. That's how you get the kingdom in your life. Okay, super simple. What does blessed mean? Blessed just means happy, actually. You can look it up in the Greek. Blessed means happy. Happy are the poor in spirit. What? How can you be happy and poor in spirit? Because theirs is a kingdom. It says, happy is he. Blessed means happy. Say happy.
Happy.
Say blessed.
Blessed.
Blessed is happy. Okay? Blessed means happy. Happy are the poor in spirit. Do you know what the word poor in here means? No, it means poor. It just means poor. Poor means like, this word actually represents someone who's like begging at the road. Like, have you ever seen a beggar at the road? That means they're poor. Question is, can a beggar give you anything? No. They don't have anything. That's why they're poor. They don't have anything. A beggar is poor. Okay? Or no? Okay. Let's say okay. The poor means like a beggar. Literally someone who begs for money. That's like, picture that. Poor means like a beggar. You're like, but we're sons. We don't beg. Okay, there's something deeper here though. You know? I'm not talking about right now begging God. Like, yes, yes, yes. I'm talking, there's some, this is a condition. We have to understand this is a condition a person is. Being poor in spirit is a condition. Okay? In spirit, what does this mean? It doesn't mean Holy Spirit. It's not in spirit of, it's not Holy Spirit. In spirit means the very deep part of you. That's you, you know? Not like your head, it's like deeper. It's like the very substance of you. The most real part of you. That's your spirit, being poor in spirit. What does that mean? Being poor is recognizing you need something. What do beggars do? They beg because they need something, right? So being poor in spirit is realizing there's something deep inside of you that you need something. You need something. You're like, I need something. I need something. This is a beautiful condition to be before God, is to be in need of God. Because when we're not in need of God, guess what? We get complacent. We get familiar. Oh, how can I prove this right now? Okay. If you have you ever went to a place and you didn't eat for a while or you fasted really long and you're like, I don't care if I eat crackers right now. That sounds like a feast. Yeah? Are you picky at that point? If you're hungry? No, you're like, I'll grab whatever I can get. Do you understand your condition? You're in need of something and you're so hungry that whatever you can get, you're going to get it. Right? Okay, versus this. If you're full already and you don't have a need for something, if you're full already, how many of you become the pickiest eaters ever? You become like the guy on Hell's Kitchen. You're like, this is undercooked. This can still live if you throw it back in the water. Like, do you know what I'm talking about? Like, if you're already like, I have the finest delicacies in my house. I will not eat this trash. Right? You get picky when you're already full. When you're like, I don't need anything. I'm just going to be picky. You're like, that's not good enough. I'm not going to eat that, blah, blah, blah. You get picky, right? See, sometimes we're like that with God. We don't recognize our need for him. And we're like, we're not hungry enough for him, you know? We're not hungry. And I'm not saying right now, like, how do I get myself hungry? Like, I need to get myself hungry. Like, we get picky. We're like, God, I want you to come this way because I'm good. I'm already have things in my life. I don't need that, you know? We don't, when we don't recognize need, we get picky. We get picky. Oh, another headache got healed. Praise the Lord. Oh, another person, their ankle doesn't hurt. Praise the Lord. Oh, this person got a new job. Praise the Lord. Like, you get like, you get complacent. You're no longer like, wow, God, you're doing such good things, right? And guess what? When we get complacent, that prevents us from gaining more. What he wants to show us. Because we get picky. Like, I want to stay desperate for God. Desperation will go through every wall. Desperation will remove everything out of the way for you just to get God. Like, how desperate are you to spend time with him? Because if you're so desperate, I mean, for guys, if like back then when I was like, oh, I think this is love, you know, I didn't care what was in my way. I'd be like, sneaking out of the house. I'm going to go spend time. Like, I'm literally, when you're desperate, you do things. Like, you do things to get things, right? And I don't mean like in a striving way. I don't mean like I'm begging and stuff. But you don't allow things in the way to get to the thing you want. Why, man, blessed are the poor in spirit, because when you're poor in spirit, you get the kingdom. There's nothing in the way that you're like, oh, I'm already full, I don't need the kingdom. Like, you need it, so you like grab onto it. It's available. Amen? I always want to be in the state of recognizing I need God. As soon as I leave that place, oh, I don't need God. Guess what? I can't do anything. It's so hard to do something. Because it says, without me, you can do what? Nothing. You can't do anything with God. Without God. Sorry. Without God. Thank you. I'm not preaching heresy here. So. I don't want to get familiar or complacent. When we get familiar and complacent, we get picky. Okay? We do that with spiritual food sometimes. We get picky with spiritual food. I'm not going to receive anything. I'm not even going to take notes. Like, come on, like, honest, right? Oh, they're preaching again. Like, oh, this person, they're like 12 years old. What can I get from them? But if we recognize, no, I need something. I need something from God. I recognize my need. I won't care if a 12-year-old is speaking. I can receive something from that. I can receive the kingdom from that. It doesn't matter if this guy just rambles on. You're like, but maybe God wants to give me something. I recognize I'm in need of something. You guys already are used to me preaching a lot. I know that. You guys are used to my tone. You guys are used to my style. But if you're hungry, God wants to give something, not from me, but from him to you. I'm just a vessel. I'm just a channel. God can use someone else. But are you going to let that someone else get in the way because you're like, oh, I don't know about, like, but if you're in need, if you're desperate for God to do something in your life, you're like, it doesn't matter who's preaching, it doesn't matter who's singing, it doesn't matter this or this. God, I just need you and I'm going to receive whatever you want. And that way, you know what that is called? That's called humbleness. Because prideful people cannot receive. It says God opposes the proud, but gives. He gives grace to the humble. Sometimes we do that with spiritual food. We get used to things that we don't go after more. You're like, oh, I already used to it. It's already been there. We don't. And some of us are like spiritual couch potatoes. Okay? You're sitting, you hear a 50 million sermons, and you're like, okay, I'm fed. It's like, you're fed so you can give it away. You're filled so you can empty it to other people. Like, pastor preached a sermon. Jesus gave the loaves to those disciples so they could give it to others. You're given something to give. You receive to give. But we receive, and then I'm like, I don't know why I feel so sluggish. I don't know why my spiritual life is not growing. Because you're not giving what you receive. You're not applying what you receive. How many times have we spoke on the kingdom? Like, I want us to experience the kingdom of life, kingdom of God in our lives. You get sluggish. Yeah? Spiritual laziness? Is that a thing? No? It is a thing. We can get lazy spiritually because we're like, this is good. I'm satisfied with sitting here. And it's because we don't recognize our need to need him. If you're not hungry, this is a dangerous place to be sometimes if you're not hungry for God. Because if a baby doesn't get hungry, what does that mean? Well, that was intense. They're going to die. I don't know. Most likely, if the baby is not hungry, they're sick. There's something wrong. If a baby's like not, because a baby gets fed like a ton. I know the moms out there, they're like, he has to eat at 3 a.m. in the morning for some reason. Like literally, a baby is hungry, gets hungry. They cry when they're hungry, right? But if a baby does not get hungry, guess what happens? That's like, that means they're sick. When we get into the state where we're not hungry for something, that means what's blocking it? What's blocking our hunger, right? Because deep down inside, we have a spirit saying, Abba, Father, we need you. I need you. I need you, right? We have it deep inside. So when we're not hungry, that means something's blocking it. Can I fill this cup that's already full? I can't. And you know what happens when a cup doesn't it's already full and the water's not going anywhere. Does this look like drinkable? It looks like pee, honestly. Does this look like drinkable water? Okay, sorry. Does this look like, if I said this was water, would you want to drink this? It's not apple juice, I promise you. Okay. If I said this is water, do you want to drink it? Okay, this is what happens to a pond that doesn't give away, that doesn't flow out. It's like when something flows into a river, like flows from a river and stays in one place, guess what it gets? It gets rotten, it gets swampy, it gets all this stuff, right? Okay, this is sometimes how we feel like when we receive and we don't give. And we're like, I'm okay with this. Like my cup's kind of, like I'm full of other stuff. Does that make sense? I'm full of my concern for this. I'm full of worldly things. I'm full of, you're just full of it. You're just full of it. Okay? This is being poor in spirit. God, I'm a vessel. I need you. I need something. I need you. Not from a begging standpoint, because we know if we're hungry, if we're the children of God and we're hungry, guess what God's going to do? He's going to feed you. Right? But we recognize I'm poor. I'm not full of other things, Lord. I can't fill my spirit with these other things. I need to fill it with your kingdom. I need to fill it with your presence, right? And he sees this. And you know what this is? God, I want you more. I want you more. And this is what he begins to do. He starts to pour it in. He starts to pour in the kingdom. And you start experiencing him. And your cup is clear. Your cup is clear. And you're like, man, God, I need more of you. I saw this healing, but I want more healings. I'm thankful, but I want more healings. And he starts to pour even more. He's like, here, like, he keeps pouring out in the poor in spirit. He keeps feeding the hungry. This is a phrase I use all the time. If I talk to someone and they really don't want to hear my advice and they really don't want to hear the word of God, you know what I do? I don't tell them it. You're like, oh, that's cool. No, because they're not hungry for it. It's like getting a loaf of bread and chucking it at their head and they're not even hungry. You're like, dude, why are you throwing bread at me? I'm not even hungry, right? Like God gives to the hungry. He satisfies hunger. Amen. Poor in spirit is understanding, God, I need you. I can't get complacent. I can't get satisfied where I'm at. I'm thankful, but I'm not satisfied. I'm thankful, but I want more. I'm thankful, but I need more. We want the kingdom to come in and through our lives, But are we actually hungry for it? Do we want to see it? We can sing all the songs. God, we want more. But do we see, like, you know how what the distance between your head and your heart is? 18 inches. 18 inches from your head to the heart. And sometimes that's the journey it must take for us to actually experience the truth of God. Because we can know it right here. We can sing, God, we want more, we want more. But until we recognize we need more, that's something else. We can sing all the karaoke we want. I want more. And I'm not saying we do karaoke. I believe we worship in spirit and truth. But if we want more, do we actually want more? Are we ready for more? Or are we full of it? Monday, I come back, I'm like, oh, I'm already full. Like, I'm not that hungry for God right now. I was at service, but not anymore. Like, do we recognize our need for God every single day? Saying, God, I need your kingdom to come. I need you. It's not from a, like, because without God, we're poor. We have nothing. Can I have the keyboard player come up? Very lightly, please. Hunger provokes something. You know why? How I know hunger provokes something? Like nobody, when you're hungry, I don't know, for me, I get so grumpy. Like I get so, I'm like, don't talk to me right now. Give me a piece of steak and then I'll talk to you. Like when I'm hungry, like I'm, you know what you're thinking about? Food. When you're hungry for God, you know what you're thinking of? God. Right? Hunger is a gift. Hunger, some people are like, I don't want to be hungry. Is so good because it causes you, like, from this position of sitting, I'm full, I'm good, to this position, I need more. I need more from you, God. I want to keep going. I want to go farther. I want the fire greater. I want more fire. You know? That's what we want, is more of God, right? And you're like, I don't know if I want more of God. I don't even know what I want. Ask him, humble yourself, and he gives grace. He'll give you understanding. He'll show you, you want to be hungry for me? Don't get distracted and fill yourselves with the world. Don't fill yourself with the world. Don't fill yourself with things that promise to satisfy you. I'm not saying not to enjoy hobbies. You can enjoy hobbies, but there's something greater. It says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Can we do the next verse? I know I didn't plan for this, but, and I'm finishing up, guys. Matthew 5:4. 5:4, she'll get it. Next one, 5:5. It's not good. It's somewhere here. Lord. Next one. 6. I told you guys I didn't have this verse, so. These are ways of the kingdom, by the way, if you really want. Okay. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, which is in the kingdom, for they shall be satisfied. God satisfies hunger. But it's always good when you get satisfied, you get hungry for more. Like when you try the best food ever, it's not like, oh, I tried the best food, I'm good for now. Like I'm good for the rest of my life. No, like you get hungry again. You get hungry for more. We can't get satisfied with a last encounter. Like I'm thankful for the encounters I had for God, but I'm always, God, I want new encounters. And you're like, maybe you're like, oh, I read the Bible. I love Bill Johnson shared this. Who reads the Bible and remembers every time what they read? No? Okay, who remembers what they ate last Monday for breakfast? Nobody can. But guess what? That breakfast still nurtured you. So we don't have an excuse. Oh, I don't read the Bible. I don't read the Bible because I don't remember it. No, what you read actually can satisfy you for that day. It can fill your hunger for that day. Just because you don't remember it doesn't mean it didn't nurture you that day. Amen? We want the kingdom, amen? I mean, I want in our youth, I don't want just a cute little youth that has fellowship and we're chill. It's like, oh, that's a fun youth. I want to be known for a youth that, like, wow, they're hungry for God. They really want God, and they don't care. Like, that's why they're here, is for the presence. Not because I just want to see my friends, but because I want to seek the presence with my friends. Amen? So we're just going to stand up, and we're going to pray. See, when we're hungry, it shows that we recognize our need for Him. When we're poor in spirit, guess what? God gives us the kingdom. When I'm like, God, I need you to move in this place. I want you to move in this place. Lord, show me what to do. Show me how I can do it. God, I want more of you in my secret place. I want more of you. And I don't want to stop, and I don't want to be satisfied. I don't want to be complacent. God, where I'm at, I want more of you. Can we just dim the lights right now? I just want you right now to take a moment with God. And maybe you're like, I don't, like, there's been times in my life I haven't been hungry. But there's been times where I can't get satisfied. I just want more. I just want more of His presence. I want more encounter with Him. Like right now, just explore your heart and you're like, I don't get what the point of this is. I don't get why. Like, ask Him, God, give me a hunger. Show me how to be poor in spirit. Show me. Because it says, happy are poor, are those who are poor in spirit. Just take a moment with God right now. This is between you and God. It's not about the person to your left, to your right. It's right now between you and God. And maybe you're like, I don't know what I want. Ask Him. Ask Him, God, show me what you want. Show me my life. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you, Jesus.